Robert Jordan wrote, "If wishes had wings, sheep would fly." Hi there, and welcome to Here's a Thought, the blogcast for people who overthink. I'm your host, Jan M. Flynn, and if I'm thinking about anything at all, I'm probably overthinking it. If that describes you too, each week I invite you to take a little recess, a brief break from the endless voices in your head, by listening to the ones in mine. This week, I'm reflecting on my recent witnessing of an extraordinary animal migration. Not the ones I traveled to Kenya to see last summer. This one is much, much closer to home. It's a real dyed-in-the-wool Idaho thing. It's spring, and the sheep are on the move. Not like it's all their idea, of course. Sheep and ideas are generally acknowledged to be strangers to one another. But for almost 140 years, sheep have been making their seasonal guided migrations here in Idaho. It happens twice a year. In spring, ranchers move their herds from their winter pastures to their summer grazing grounds in higher elevations of the Boise National Forest. The woolly critters will spend weeks on the journey, closely guarded by watchful shepherds, both human and canine, as they munch their way across sagebrush-studded foothills and up into the Wood River Valley. When there's a highway in their path, sheep get the right of way. Roadways are cordoned off, traffic stops, and first responders are on hand to make sure that the herd makes its way safely across the road. In the fall, they head back down. And that's a huge deal in Ketchum, Idaho, the picturesque town near Sun Valley, also famed for being where Papa Hemingway died, but that's another story. Ketchum's Trailing of the Sheep Festival, often voted one of the top 10 fall festivals in the U.S., draws a big crowd every October. I've never been, but I hear it's a hoot, or a baa. In Idaho, sheep are big. I mean, they're the same size as sheep in other states. But sheep play an outsized role in Idaho's history and, to some extent, its identity. In the 1880s, Idaho's vast swaths of rugged open range made it ideal for raising sheep, an opportunity that was not lost on hardy entrepreneurs like Scottish immigrant Andy Little, the Idaho sheep king, who arrived in 1884 with two dogs and $25. By 1935, he owned one of the largest ovine operations in the nation, with over 100,000 sheep. The need for skilled herders drew immigrants from the Basque Country and has a lot to do with why Idaho boasts the largest population of people with Basque heritage of any state in the nation. And here's a sidebar. No trip to Boise is complete without a visit to its famed Basque Block, where you can visit a cultural center, a museum, a specialty market, and feast on local Basque delights. Don't miss the croquetas at Cozy Bar Guernica. The world's largest celebration of Basque culture, Hayaldi, is also held in Boise every 5 years. The next one is late summer 2025, so make your plans now. Anyway, by 1918, sheep outnumbered humans in Idaho by 6-1. At the height of the ranching industry in the 1930s, there were well over 2 million sheep ranged across the state. These days, the population of Idaho sheep has dwindled to less than 200,000, but they still loom large in the state's culture, and no more so than when it's time for them to cross the road. As a transplant to the Gem State, there are certain experiences you sort of have to have before you can legitimately call yourself an Idahoan, and yes, that's what we call ourselves. These experiences include dining on finger steaks, getting stuck in traffic behind farm equipment, and colliding with a deer. Watching the sheep trailing is another one of those things. Up until this spring, despite living in Idaho off and on since 2008, I had yet to witness the semi-annual spectacle. So last weekend, I set out to correct that. On Saturday, I arose before dawn to coffee up and meet a friend who had also somehow neglected to tick this experience off her to-do list, despite also having lived here for years. Local authorities had helpfully posted a map of the crossing route, only minutes outside Boise proper, at the intersection of Highway 55 and Beacon Light Road. They included parking advice, don't count on a space at the Chevron station unless you're one of the first on the scene, and tips for sheep peeping etiquette. Stay out of the herd's way, and for heaven's sake, keep your dog on a leash. Expecting a crowd, we parked at a nearby bike park and walked, joining a gradually growing contingent of others who looked both as curious and slightly befuddled as we felt. "Have you done this before?" folks asked one another, and "Are we in the right spot?" A few spectators we saw, presumably sheep crossing veterans, had brought camp chairs. Other than orange cones along the side of the road and a few official-looking vehicles strategically parked, Highway 55 looked much like it does on any other Saturday morning, with cars, trucks, and campers whizzing toward the beckoning mountains around McCall and the scenic pleasures of the Payette River. Except that a modest throng of people now lined the roadway, anticipating sheep. It was like waiting for an exceptionally fanfare-free parade. But at last, sheep. Suddenly, with an eruption of baas and bleats, the woolly herd appeared from somewhere across Beacon Hill Road. A couple of shepherds, the humankind, walked in front, briskly followed by the leading sheep, and the rest did what sheep are famed for. They followed. Lots of them. Ewes and lambs, mostly, from what I could tell, which is when it struck me how little I actually know about sheep and what it takes to raise them. What I did recall in that moment is that sheep make a lot of noise. At least they do when they're being firmly ushered along pavement, which must feel strange to their little cloven feet. They chorus in a general tone of complaint, like a lot of impatient tourists who are unhappy with the lines at the buffet. Also, they poop a lot. I thought about trying to count them, but I was afraid I'd fall asleep. On they trotted, guided by a surprisingly small human detail and a few dogs forming something like a canine caboose. They continued for approximately 300 yards along the highway until turning left into a culvert that led to a grass and weed-studded draw. There, they all stopped to eat, bunched up together like a fuzzy, cream-colored cloud. It took maybe 10 minutes, and the whole show was over. We spectators headed back to our cars, stepping carefully to avoid sheep droppings. My friend and I found a cafe in town where we celebrated with a mimosa brunch and then went shopping. So, what is to be gleaned from watching sheep cross the road? Well, for one thing, it's one of those quirky, oddly life-affirming moments when people from the city and suburbs reschedule their Saturday morning to witness, well, sheep. It's also a link to Idaho's sheepish history. Sadly, and perhaps inevitably, sheep ranching is a diminishing presence in the state. It's a tough way to make a living, requiring physical hardiness and endless vigilance. Coyotes, wolves, black bears, and falling timber take their toll every year. It requires skills not taught in U.S. trade schools. Frank Schertz, who runs a total of approximately 28,000 sheep from Wilder to the Payette National Forest High Country every year, employs 25 sheep herders from Peru. Many of the shearing crews, who can expertly remove a fleece from an animal in one unbroken blanket, are from Uruguay. And globalization hasn't been the sheep rancher's friend. In 2022, lamb prices were well below the cost of production, and they've only edged up since. Meanwhile, 70% of the lamb sold in America comes from Australia, which through a combination of market forces and a weaker Aussie dollar, is able to flood U.S. grocery stores with their product. Frank Schertz is 70. Another sheep ranching stalwart, Henry Echeverry, whose name bespeaks his French Basque heritage, is 74. They both fear they may not have anything left to sell to fund their retirement. So, watching sheep being trailed through the margins of town and off into Idaho's storied rural past is not such a small thing. It's not something to take for granted. As Khalil Gibran says, "Yes, there is a nirvana. It is leading your sheep to a green pasture, and in putting your child to sleep, and in writing the last line of your poem." I'm glad I got to watch this woolly herd of living history heading off to their green pastures. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Here's a Thought with Jan M. Flynn. Please follow the show if you haven't already. And if you'll take a moment to leave a star rating or review on your podcast app, that helps others find it. Check the episode notes for more info, fun sheep quotations, and ways to reach out to me with comments or suggestions. Until next time, may you savor the rituals of spring, however wonky they may be where you live, and may all your thoughts be good ones.